Welcome to Generative Age, a podcast that explores the rapidly evolving world of generative AI and its impact on education.
Guided by our expert facilitators, Alana Winnick and Dr. Cameron Faggio,
we speak with practitioners and thought leaders in education who are shaping the course of generative AI in the classroom.
Whether you're an educator, administrator, technology leader, or simply interested in the future of education, join us on this journey through the Generative Age, powered by NYSTCE,
the New York State Association for Computers and Technologies in Education. Join us as we explore the cutting edge of creativity and all the ways in which generative AI is changing the face of education.
Please excuse the poor audio quality in our earlier episodes. We never anticipated that this would grow into what it has become, and we have since made significant improvements to our audio setup to provide you with a better listening experience.
Joining us, my name is Amy DelCorvo. I'm the CEO Executive Director for NYSTCE. And first of all, thank you. I know that it's a Monday night, which is, I'm not sure if it's the most ideal time to meet, but I'm not sure there is an ideal time. But I just want to thank you because, you know, through the course of my career, there's been things that have emerged which have really caused deep discussion and really interrupting the education scene. And I feel very, very strongly this is one of those things. I'd like to thank Alana and Cameron, who have agreed to really start and facilitate this discussion that we do see going long-term, not just tonight. So tonight we're going to talk about, and Alana's going to get into all this, so I don't want to steal any of her thunder, but what is ChatGPT? What is generative AI? Many of you may have already heard Google's release Bard, which is another angle of that. So it's this technology as a whole. What are some of the implications for technology, both as far as an opportunity? And I'm sure that you're all aware, we could just go through and list all of those items. But we're going to have the open discussion. We're going to, Alana and Cameron have a bunch of activities for us to go through. And then we're actually going to set a series of next steps so we can continue the discussion well past today. This is what I love about the NYSTCE community. This is something that we're going to learn collective. This is not there's no registration fee. There's no requirement. We're not looking into any of that. This is just professional discourse, which to me, this is more important than anything. Right now, I'd like to introduce two folks, both Alana Winnick. And Alana is not only a NYSTCE board member, but she's presented for us in various scenarios, the annual conference. She's one of our ISTE certified facilitators. And Alana comes to us as the Education Technology Director at Pocantico Hills. Alana, did I get it right finally?
Very, very close.
And Dr. Cameron Faggio, from the Assistant Superintendent from Pleasantville. And, you know, one thing I think that we all need to be aware of, we were talking before we started, I get at least 5 requests a day for articles to be written, for educator perspectives, how this is going to impact education, our kids cheating, this, that. And this is just a really important piece. So thank you for being here. And it's my pleasure to turn this over to Alana and Cameron.
So welcome. This is the first session in a series of AI in education. And today we really wanted to catch everyone up to speed so we could all develop a common understanding and vocabulary. And we're going to get into when it was released and all of that stuff. But some people have been researching it and using it, and some people are brand new. So this session is really just getting everyone up to speed, catching everyone up, and future sessions, which we'll go into later, will be about various topics and we'll go a little bit deeper into them. But we just thought it was very important to make a session that's just the basics so where everyone's caught up. So what is generative AI? So it's been around for a while. If you've written emails, you've probably seen, I put a little example of me writing Cameron an email. It's predicting what it thinks I'm going to write. So we've seen that for years. That's nothing new to us. It's a collection of a lot of information that's using to predict the next text. And I'll let Cameron pick up from here.
So I think the point that we always like to emphasize here is that this experience is a sort of question and response or prompt and response. What's unique here is the way in which that information is gathered and put together. It's about predicting information, right? You have this ChatGPT system, which kind of essentially works as a large way to predict what your anticipated outcome will be. And the library, of course, represents sort of the large corpus of information on which this system has been trained. What's really compelling about ChatGPT is that from 2017, around when GPT-1 was sort of released and formalized, up until now when GPT-3, which is the large language model, and there's a lot of information about that, and we've shared some resources here that you can access for future reading. But basically the way it works is the system goes in and it gathers a lot of information about what somebody might expect to be an outcome. And the number of parameters is essentially the size of that system. So you can see over these past few years, it has gone from being millions of points to billions of points to hundreds of billions of points, or what they call parameters. So this is different because this is the largest, most powerful trained language model that's widely accessible by the general public. Amy mentioned at the beginning that Google has a language model. Facebook, a number of other different organizations are working on these, and they have been for years. So this is not exclusive to OpenAI, which is the company behind ChatGPT. But it's this, they're the first ones to make it widely accessible and incredibly easy to use. And I think that's what's really been interesting to see all of that take shape. And the other part, sort of this conversational tone, right? Being able to go in and ask a question and get back a response that's easy to comprehend and quite accurate. Well, accuracy is a
question. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. But in terms of interpretable or understandable, that's really a major thing that's come out of this work. So things to sort of understand as you're using this is, it's different than a search engine. When you go to search, you're searching against the database and it's different algorithms working to surface information. When these language models are working, it's actually processing the requests up in the cloud. So little technical pieces there, but just to give you an idea, this is actually different and unique and exciting. And it's pretty straightforward. The majority of you have heard of it. If you have or haven't signed up, when you do sign up, when you get to this website for ChatGPT, it's on the OpenAI website. It's fairly straightforward.
And I'll show you several examples. I have screenshots of several examples.
Yeah. You put in a prompt, which is basically a question or a query or a whole host of different potential pieces of information that you can put in. The system predicts what it thinks you're expecting as an output, and then it will simply generate that output. And so the G is for that generative. It's what's being created. The pre-trained is talking or speaking to the fact that this system has been sort of primed and trained to respond to those questions on a massive scale. And the transformer is some of the technology and the design behind this particular system.
It's very interesting. So you look at how popular it is. There's a path to 1 million users on each platform. It took ChatGPT less than 5 days to reach 1 million users. Less than 5 days. It took Instagram 75 days and Spotify 150 days. So this is really, really popular.
ChatGPT is one of many generative AI tools. And essentially what that means is it's a software tool that's used for creating content using artificial intelligence and machine learning. Generative AI is not limited to text-based content creation. There are hundreds of tools. If you want to check out Futurepedia, there are a list of all of these tools that are out there, and it covers a wide range of things around images or video, healthcare, research, audio. So there are a whole host of different platforms that make it possible to share that information out.
So here are the very popular ones that most people have heard of so far. So OpenAI is the company, and they've released two different softwares that you may or may not have heard of. ChatGPT, which is the advanced chatbot where you type and it types back, and then you can ask it to revise or change the text, and it will change it based on the prompts you give it. Where DALL-E is images or art, and sneak preview, that's going to be our next session, a little teaser. There's an AI tool that writes and summarizes your meeting notes, so it could join your Zoom meeting and write you a summary based on it. Canva has a built-in tool, and a lot of you use Canva. You can ask it to generate images for you, and based on the text that you type in, it will generate images. Microsoft is releasing something very similar called Bing Create, and they have another tool called Designer that's coming out as well. And then there's GitHub, which is a natural language prompts into coding suggestions. So if you teach or use coding, that might be a good one for you. Arts could be used for anyone. Text could really be used for anyone as well. So these are just like the big six that we came up with. But we encourage you in the chat to share your favorites. So if you use one that's not on this list, please put it in the chat and tell us what it does. So what are your favorites and what do they do? And just go ahead and type that in the chat. This is largely uncharted territory. This came out on November 30th, which is like 2 months. So within 2 months, you might feel like, I don't understand it. Well, guess what? It's only really 2 months old. ChatGPT was just released. So this is your opportunity to catch up to speed. And when you leave here after today, you'll be totally caught up. And then next time we meet, we could dive into specific targeted topics and get a little bit deeper. So you're really not that far behind. And it's really evolving and changing every day. Cameron and I are sending each other things literally every single day.
ChatGPT right now is actually a research preview. So it's open to the public, and they're very forward about the fact that they're looking to gather information and they're letting people access it and utilize it freely. So it is free right now. They did offer a subscription service plan. That's the ChatGPT Pro. It's by invitation. It's $20 a month. Somebody in the chat actually asked if we had any information about that. And the real, you know, quick high level couple bullets is that the pro service gives you sort of priority access. So that way your queries will be able to go through a little bit quicker, as well as they give you access to more features as they release them.
Yeah, and if you've ever tried to use it, and there's a lot of people on at that time, you'll get a notification saying that you have to wait. And it says, if you would like to receive a notification when it's back online, please enter your email address. So the subscription service would give you first priority, and then other people that don't pay would have to wait until there was enough bandwidth. I've tried different browsers, just a pro tip. If it doesn't work in one browser, try it in another one. It sometimes works. So should I be concerned about data privacy and security? I think that this one is really important. So first of all, the pop-up notification that came up yesterday for me said, how we collect data. Conversations may be reviewed by our AI trainers to improve our systems. Please don't share any sensitive information in your conversation. So they're telling you, do not share any sensitive information. But also, if you are a New York State K-12 educator, Education Law 2D says that if it requires a student logon, then you must get a signed DPA and Parent Bill of Rights from that vendor. And as of right now, ChatGPT and OpenAI are not signing anyone's DPA that I'm aware of. I've tried, and I've had fellow colleagues try, and they're not signing any agreements. So if you don't have a signed agreement, then that means that students cannot log on and use it if they're under 18. So as of right now in K-12 in New York, teachers can use it, and we're going to share many ways that teachers can use it, but students cannot use it. So I have several examples of how you could use this in your own work right now, because again, you could still use it. Here's tonight's presentation. I asked ChatGPT to help me write tonight's presentation, and it did a pretty good job of an outline. I had to tweak some things and add some things, and we worked with Cameron several times, but it was a really nice starting point for me.
So another thing about this is that it actually lets you, it will come up with a suggestion for an email. right? It's been trained on a large set of data. And so as lots of examples of emails. And so Alana put in a prompt here. And as you can see, there's some good substance to, well, what is it asking? You know, what was she looking to get? And out comes this sample email that is unique to this specific query.
And the more information you give it in your prompt, the better the output will be. And if it's not quite what you want, you can say, oh, can you please rewrite that and add in this? And it will. It can make lesson plans for you. Of course, you know your students better than anyone else. So it, again, it's a great starting point. You're going to want to tweak it to your own individual district, grade level students and needs, but it is a great way to start a lesson. And then following up on that lesson, I'll take the next one. It could generate worksheets for your lessons too. So it wrote me the lesson plan and I said, can you generate the handouts too? And it did.
It also lets you generate, it will also generate quizzes for you. Again, fairly straightforward. What's interesting about the system and what's worth noting is that it actually, it responds based on context. So when you go in and you say, okay, I'm teaching a lesson on World War II. So go ahead and write a unit for me on World War II. Then go ahead and create a worksheet. Then create a quiz. It will
give you the answer key too.
And the answer key, right? It will keep that in context. So as you go through, you don't need to go and ask it again to say, I'm teaching a lesson on World War II. Now can you create a quiz? Now can you create an activity?
And that's where I think that word pre-trained comes into context, because if you're using that same chat near and it saves your chat. So if you have one open, it will learn as you keep writing to it. So it will write information, then you'll write more information, it will write information back. And as you keep talking to it, you're training that chat. So it will remember it. So if you have a whole thing on World War II and you're doing the lesson plan and the worksheets and the quizzes, it will keep the same information and keep tweaking it based on how you are training it. So the next one is an exemplar. One of my teachers, I believe she's on here, Marina, she did a TED Talk at the NiceGate conference. And then she came back and did a whole unit on TED Talks for their third graders. So we needed an exemplar. So I said, can you write a TED Talk on oil spills? And then it was pretty advanced. So I said, can you rewrite it like an eight-year-old? And it rewrote it like an eight-year-old. They used the word yucky. So it's pretty cute. It could make samples for you of any type of work that you might need. So you could take two pieces of work, whether it's work that you are comparing or pieces of student work, and you can say, evaluate the last two responses. And this one says, which is a better example of good narrative writing and why, and it compares the two pieces and outputs information. So you can use it to compare pieces of work or review pieces of work. So this one I really loved. So people always talk about it grading, like they don't have to grade anymore. So I could have put an example of ChatGPT grading for you, but I thought that this one was a little bit of a really better example because it explains like what ChatGPT or generative AI really does. So it says, as an AI language model, I do not have the ability to grade essays as this is a subjective task that typically involves considering factors such as grammar, writing style, organization, and content. However, if you would like feedback on a specific aspect on the essay, please let me know and I'd be happy to help. So if you upload a rubric, it will use your rubric to grade that assignment. Or if you say, grade this essay for grammar or grade it for sentence structure, then it will grade it for those specific things. So you are telling the tool what you want.
So as we go into the next part here, and then after we share a couple of suggestions with you, we're going to be jumping into breakout sessions. So you can start to really connect with the other attendees here and have some conversations, because Alana and I have been to quite a few webinars and meetings about this over the past few weeks. And the best ones are really when you can get in and ask questions of those in the room and sort of learn more about how they're using it or how they're thinking about it. And one thing that we wanted you to think about is thinking about generative AI as sort of a thought partner. And that's something that as you start to explore and really get a sense of what it is, really thinking about how do I utilize this for my own work? But we recommend sort of that the thoughts should start with the user, right? And we're thinking about this in terms of an educational context. It's important for our students to be critical thinkers and learners. And so to that end, really kind of approaching it from the perspective of, here's this tool, we can utilize it, and where should we start? And we recommend sort of starting with your thoughts and saying, I'm thinking about this, could you give me some ideas, and kind of go from there.
And then asking it to tweak, and you could keep going back and forth with your chatbot. But then you'll always make it your own, I would hope. You're not just copying it straight from there, because I mean, it does have some great initial work, but then I always tweak it and make it my own. So this is the big question. Three ways to tell if your students are using AI. So revision history, this one in Google or Microsoft, there's revision history or version history, depending which one you use. You can check the history to see, are they copying and pasting the text? Because if it's, you look at it from 1 minute, there's nothing. In the next minute, there's paragraphs of text. There's no possible way that that student wrote that amount of text in that short of a period of time. So you could know by looking at the version history. And also, are they going through the revision process? Are they going and revising? Are they adding? Can you see progression of a piece of work over time? You can also make assignments in class. So going back to that flipped learning model and having the students do the work in class. And that way you're walking around, you're having conferences, you're having discussions, you're watching their work unfold in the class with you.
The third one is, there's always this question. And for those of you who have been following this from the get-go, as you start to explore and discover what this is capable of doing, and Alana alluded to this earlier with an example about writing an example of a TED Talk as an 8-year-old. So you can certainly go into the system and say, write an essay about World War II, or write an essay comparing and contrasting two different authors. And the system will in turn generate a response. And because the system is pulling information from hundreds of thousands of millions of billions of different sources, referencing where that primary source material is, it's not something it can do yet. So what people have done is they've created these AI detector tools, and there are a whole host of them. OpenAI just released their own sort of playground version. So you can generate the text in OpenAI and then also use it to detect text that's been generated by ChatGPT.
Remember, it's predicting the word in the sequence. So a human brain, the way we type, is less predictable than a way that a computer would type. So it looks at the word, the structure of the sentence and the words in the order they're in, and it gives you a percentage that says there's a 97% chance that this was written by an AI, not a human.
And I will say, and we're seeing some of the comments, there will be ways for students to get around this. Nothing is certain. The reliability percentages for these detectors are 80-90%. So you have to think about
the implications. It'll lead us to our next topic of conversation, right?
Jump right to it.
Nice segue. So
there we go. So if a bot could be used to easily complete these activities, then something you might want to consider is how you're assessing learning.
Cameron coined it as the big five. So these are the big five things we want you to take away, but it really is going back to rethinking how you're assessing your students. Because if that chatbot could easily do the work, then these should be your big five takeaways.
We wanted you to come and learn a little bit with us tonight and share. But then we also, again, from Alana and I being in these sessions, we felt like there's a lot of useful information, but nothing that I can walk away with and utilize in a practical manner. So this was really the goal of this. So if you take nothing else away from this, remember this slide. And this was actually inspired by the work over at Turnitin. They actually have some really nice handouts. So we've given you a link to that. I'll just kind of touch on the big ones, right? Focusing on critical thinking and reasoning. that's really something to consider as these tools become more prevalent. Using it to augment your professional work, we've already covered that. And then, again, revisiting the assessment and thinking about what it means to evaluate student learning. And it's an exciting time to be in the classroom with these tools. There are positives, there are minuses, but you know, these tools will continue to persist. So now's the chance to dive in and really embrace them.
Okay, so now here's the part where you get to talk and we get to stop talking. So we were thinking of putting you in breakout rooms for about 15 minutes and we'll let you self-select the room that interests you. Okay, we're back. Sorry to cut it short.
Yeah.
That went too fast.
I know that. That went too fast, as you were saying. But that's why this is just the start. This is just the beginning. And we're going to have a series because, as you can see, there's so much to discuss. And that was not enough time. So we're going to do this again. And we're going to keep doing it again. Okay, no, it's 8:01. So I'm going to try to get through the last few slides as quick as I can. So like we said, this is just the beginning. It's moving at the speed of light. It's literally changing every single day. So we're going to try to keep you up to speed. We're going to meet regularly. So I have the date and registration link to the next session. And each topic is going to be targeted and specific. Up next, really excited to have Tim Needles, who is also on the NYSCAPE Board of Directors representing the Long Island region. The next topic is going to be on the impacts of AI and art, design, and music. So this one was focused a lot about that generative AI text base. The next one will be focused on the arts and pictures and how that's going to transform and shape really the arts and music industry, but also education. So Tim's a published author and he's a speaker and he's an educator and he's on the board with us and we're really excited to feature him. So it looks like it's going to be March 6th at 7 p.m. with Tim Needles. Can't wait. Looking forward to seeing you then. Mark your calendars and make sure you click the link to register.
And they are free. So there will be no charge for these.
Some future session ideas are after Tim, we have, he's on here right now, Josh Block from Chappaqua will be joining us to talk about professional development. He launched a professional development series today in Chappaqua. Today was their first of four sessions. So he'll be joining us about 2 to 3 weeks after Tim's session to tell us about how that's going and how you might do professional development in your district around this as well. There's a bunch of other topics. And as you can see, we'll target each session on a topic and we'll structure it kind of the way it was today, where the first half is informative and you listen to the guest presenter presenting new information. And then the second half is you engaging in breakout sessions and learning and growing together. So that's how the structure will be. And we'll keep changing it as you need more information, but we need you. So we have the next two sessions lined up. But we're looking for other facilitators and other ideas. Maybe you want to co-facilitate, or maybe you want to recommend someone to co-facilitate. So we gave you an opportunity to share with us any ideas that you have. So we encourage you to shape this into whatever you want it to be. And that's all I have for you for today. Cameron, I spoke really fast. I got us out of here 5 minutes late. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I just want to thank everybody for joining us. The conversations were wonderful. And I hope you walk away being able to take a lot of ideas with you. I will say 100% the biggest challenge is every time I've been in a session, it's like, what's in the chat? You know, where's that link? Where's that resource? So we will be pulling those resources together. These will be available on the NYSCAPE website. So go there and share this with your colleagues.
So on behalf of NYSCAPE, I just want to thank Alana and Cameron for starting us off. We look forward to the ongoing discourse. We do know ChatGPT has been banned in a number of schools in New York already, but we also know it's our professional responsibility to be informed, stay on top of it, and work through it. I do remember a time not so long ago when iPads were banned in some schools, right? Until we really understood them. And there's so much power behind it. We just have to figure this out, and it's great to figure it out together. So thank you all so much for being here. Have a great evening.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Generative Age, powered by NYSCAPE.
We want to remind you that you can join us during the live recordings of these conversations and engage with like-minded colleagues.
This is a great opportunity to ask questions, participate in back channel discussions, and engage in breakout room activities to further your understanding of the topics we discussed.
Stay informed about the latest developments in AI and education by following us on social media at generative_age. Join us next time for another exciting conversation. Until then, keep learning and keep growing in the generative age.